If you would, turn in your Bibles to Galatians. Chapter 5. Starting once again at verse 13. Now, a lot of preachers love to give poems and 3 points, and that's why the church is in trouble, because we need to look at God's Word. Let me tell you what's going on at the churches of Galatia. Paul came in and preached the new covenant of Jesus Christ. The new covenant freed everybody from Moses. Moses was temporary. All of those things of the Mosaic law, when Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood," goodbye, Moses. And it was the Jewish opinion, well, that's good, because frankly, we couldn't keep this anyway. So Paul came in to a bunch of churches and preached the grace of Jesus Christ. The new covenant, enabling through the power of God's Spirit to please God. Not by the works of the law, which can never please God. Because the clause of the old covenant is this. If you want to be under Moses, remember this. How much of Moses do you have to do? All of it. And no one could do it. And so what it was is rendered anybody. You want to be justified by God before the law of Moses. Here is your clause. Do it all. And if you violate one little thing, including wearing wool and cotton, you're guilty. How would you like that system? This is why Jesus said in Matthew 11, if you'll hold your Bible there, in Matthew 11, Jesus had issued an invitation. In Matthew 11, when Jesus was teaching, he said this in verse 28 of Matthew 11, "Come to me." He didn't say go to Moses. Now, Moses was a great guy. Don't get me wrong. He murdered people. He got a little impatient. No one's perfect. Yes? There's the truth about Moses. He looked this way and he looked that. And guess what Moses did? Murdered the Egyptian. Book him, Dano. Murder one. That's why when they call Old Testament people saints and New Testament people saints, it's only God's grace. They say St. David's church, you know, all that. Well, David had his problems too. That's the grace of God. We can be saintly, called saints, but we're not really. And he said, "Come unto me." And then he said something very interesting. He was speaking to Jewish crowds, all who are weary and heavy laden. What was he talking about? Well, the Pharisees, the fundamentalists, by the way, Jesus had no problem with the common people who didn't keep kosher. Do you know who gave Jesus the hardest time all of his life? Were the fundamentalists. Now, let me tell my visitors, we believe in the fundamentals of the faith. My elders, when I do this, "Oh, Dave, make sure that they know that you're not liberal." We are not liberal. We believe in the fundamentals of the faith. But there's a culture in fundamentalism, and only if you've been around them can you smell it. Let me tell you about my experience. I don't know what I was raised in, a family that believed the scripture, but clearly my dad was no fundamentalist. My mother may have been a little bit more, but not my dad. My mother's here for you visitors, so it's time for me to tell the truth, whether my parents like it or not. But I went, how I got there, I think God was teaching me about mercy and compassion. I ended up at an undergraduate Baptist, for all you Baptists, this used to be a Baptist church, fundamentalist college, started by, and I'm going to offend people, 2 Bob Jones graduates. The most legalistic thing I've ever seen. rules where the girls had to get down to make sure somehow they'd measure the hem, and no holding of hands, no going to movies, no this, no that. And I'd never seen that kind of thing before. And I was, matter of fact, look, Pastor Dave has a sense of humor. I'll never forget. I walked up to this trying to be friendly with these weird group of people. I'm ashamed that I was even around them, for Jesus isn't like this. And it was a group of kids, so I told a joke. It maybe wasn't a good joke. You know me, I got a crazy sense of humor. I see this all week, so here. Some people, you hear about the senator or the guy that grabbed the water from the Pope, went around sprinkling his whole family with it? It was backwash. Here's what I would do. Next time, if the Pope is around, grab me that cup and we'll put it on eBay and we'll sell it, starting bid $1,000. We'll make money for the church. Anyway, I'm mixing these things up. Unless you've been around this kind of thing, you don't understand. All sorts of rules, all sorts of regulations. You don't do this, you don't do that. And you know what that produced? One of the most harsh, unloving, unmerciful, pharisaical group of people I have ever seen, until on my day of graduation. No one knows this. I don't even know if my mother remembers it, but I remember what Jesus said. Take and shake the dust off your feet with people like that. You know what I did? I got that degree and I said, Lord, I'll never be like these people. I will do my best to warn people about this kind of unloving group of legalistic, harsh. And I literally shook the dust off my feet and said, I don't ever want to be like these people. But unless you've been around that group, now I found one group that beat them. If that's possible. How many of you, just look at me for 5 seconds and let's count. One, two, look me right in the eye. Three, four, five. All right? You now can be thrown out of a fundamentalist college. Now, here's what happens in legalism, and this is what started happening. You bring back the law of Moses, and they won't stop at Moses. They're going to start bringing back all sorts of legalistic things. Let me tell you what that was about, staring at me. I thought that I had reached the crescendo of Bob Jones' fundamentalistic cultural harshness. Well, this is a true story. One of my kids in class brought up, I would tell this to the kids, that when they're pastors, don't you be harsh like that. And the kid said, well, have you heard about Pensacola Christian College? Let me make sure this is on the Pensacola Christian College. By the way, Sandy's sister sent her daughter to this place. And I said, no. They said, well, have you heard of eye kissing? I said, no, what in the heck is eye kissing? So I'm imagining you going up, somebody going like this, and you kiss their eye. I don't know. Well, at this school, it got so fundamentalistic, not only couldn't they hold hands, so what do you tell kids when they can't hold hands? Well, they're going to find a way to show affection, so guess what? They began to notice that dating couples, I will only stare at a girl when I do this because the Lord knows, I'll stare at my wife. If you stared at your date longer than a few seconds, that was called eye kissing and you would be removed from the school or given demerits. That's no joke. This is where you go down the law, you start getting legalistic. Jesus inaugurated the new covenant, and we're going to find out the greatest command in the new covenant is what? Love. But this is what these nuts do. So the kids are sitting there trying to figure out how long they could stare at each other, and then I want to know, here's, you know, the laughter of this is, who's watching them? So they'd have to watch them longer than the eye-kissing to report it, so they're guilty of eye-kissing the eye-kissers when they do it. Now, this is what happened. All religious groups will get these people. That's why I tell, you've heard it before, and I tell my guys at seminary and here, religious people can be what? N-U-T-Z. Nuts. To the extent that they'll blow people up or drink some cup. Mike and Beck, he represents us in Congress, no less. Get me a cup. I'll sell it on eBay. We'll make a mint. Anyway, Jesus said, come unto me, all who are weary. See, the Pharisees were the fundamentalists of the day. They made up all the rules. The word Pharisee means pious, separated ones. And Jesus had nothing good to say about them. And what they did was said, not only do you have to keep Moses, but we've got a couple under 100 extra rules for you. And this is why in the New Testament, you'll see the Pharisees come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, you didn't wash your hands. And neither did your disciples. Well, what did the Bible, Old Testament, say about washing hands? Nothing. But they made it up. See, that's the eye-kissing of yesteryear. And here's what. You bring in legalism, you bring in these, you're going to get a harsh, and I've seen pastors, when they bring in this kind of legalism into their church, with these kind of rules, it ends up, just like Paul says here, you bite and you devour one another. And that was the history in Jesus' day. And you know what Jesus found out? And here's what an old preacher told me and what Jesus found out. This guy at that school I went to that drove me nuts. I said, you know, did you see that movie last night? And then the guy would go, I don't go to movies. Well, isn't that special? He said, I said, did you see that last night on TV? I don't watch TV. Well, there are some things that aren't good on it. But you start bringing in that kind of legalism, and when you tell people no, guess what they're going to want to do? What you tell them they can't do. Romans 7. You tell people you can't do that, you can't do this, and Paul said, our old sin nature starts to work and rebel. Jesus came in and said, all of those Pharisees that make up not only keep Moses, but all these other rules, they burden people. And what did Jesus say? Come unto me. That's why every religion, you see the Pope, nothing personal, but he's burdened all of those people. Jesus said, forget man, come unto me, and look what he promised. I will give you rest. Why? He introduced a new covenant. He introduced the law of love. You know what Peter said? He was no fundamentalist, Peter. He said, love what a multitude. Who's got 1 Peter 4:8? Who's got 1 Peter 4:8? Who's got it? What does love do? Who's got it? Who will read it? Where's Cheryl? Go ahead, Tom. Nice and loud. Love covers. But what some of these fundamentalists want to do? They go around trying to poke. See, these guys, these fundamentalists, the Pharisees, were always pointing their finger at other people. Because they got under the law. Look at that. You know what an old preacher, a Baptist preacher, told me who was in one of those groups? He said, Dave, my experience of 30-some years was that in those kind of churches, when you lift up the rug of what's going on there, you'll find more wickedness than any other group with those kind of groups that are always pointing the finger at someone else. I found it in my now 35 years of working in this business. It is so true. When you have a guy pointing his finger at others, look at you. Isn't that what Jesus found out about the Pharisees? What did he say about the Pharisees? Take the roof beam out of your own eye before you do what? Take the splinter out of someone else's. See, this is what legalism does. Jesus came and he said, "Come unto me, all you who labor. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke." Because his yoke is this: love. Love God. Love each other. And Paul said under the new covenant, love is the fulfilling of the law. But when you get with these kind of people, so guess what happened? By the way, we don't preach we're without law. We're under the law of love. And Jesus said, if you, in John 14 and 15, I'll know you love me if you what? Keep my what? Not Moses' commandments, by the way. Forget Moses. He said, keep my commandments, Jesus said. He replaced Moses. So what's Jesus' commandments? Love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. But what do we do? Just like the Pharisees of old, we have these nuts in religion. They're nuts. And they try to make these rules and regulations and do all of these things when Jesus said, that's why it is so different under the new covenant. Because it's empowered by God's Spirit. But it was the legalist that gave Jesus, you know, you ever read Luke 7, 33 and 34? It said John the Baptist in 7, look this up if you want. Luke 7, 33 and 34, this is Jesus talking. Jesus said, John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And you know what they said about John the Baptist? The fundamentalist Pharisees? He has a demon. The Son of Man, Jesus said, came what? What was he eating? Bread. What was he drinking? Good luck with that one with some fundamentalists. The Bible is never against drinking. It's against drunkenness. If you're an alcoholic, don't drink. But otherwise, Jesus gives us freedom. The Son of Man, that's the great thing about your Savior. You know who Jesus loved? He loved sinners. They called him a friend of sinners and a drunkard. What would that tell you? He never got drunk, but they sure saw him doing what a lot? Working with people will drive you to drink. I tell you something. So this is what happened in Galatia. You get a bunch of these religious fundamentalist nuts, just like Jesus faced. And the sinners loved Jesus. They came to him, Lord, be merciful to us. Jesus put his arm around them and loved them. That's the way his followers are to be. So let's go back now and let's look. Now you're going to understand in Galatians 13 through 15, look what starts happening. Paul's been preaching the new covenant. He's been preaching love. He's been preaching that they're free from Moses. They were even observing Jewish holidays. It says you observe season, months, and year. This was going crazy, and look what started happening in verse 13. The whole law, verse 14, is fulfilled in one word. What word is that? Love. How is the church as a whole? Let me ask you this. Be honest with me. The church that names itself after Jesus Christ, how have they been doing with the word love? What's our grade score? Huh? I know Bob Jones ain't known for that. How's our love life? Give a score. We fail. It says here, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15. Now look what starts happening at Galatia when they get back under Moses. But if you bite and devour one another. So when you get into legalism, what starts happening? Well, sister or brother so-and-so sees sister or brother so-and-so doing something that isn't, I saw them going to a movie. Why, I saw them looking in each other's eyes for longer than 2 seconds. This is nuts. It's about time some preacher told you. This is what the Pharisees did. They got Jesus all the time. He didn't wash his hands. Or he went and ate with a woman who was a hooker. He ate with tax collectors. Big deal. By the way, you ought to have more friends with sinners than you ever do with Christians. Do you? Jesus, it says, was a friend of what? I had a guy from the pulpit say, well, birds of a feather flock together. You can't associate with people. Listen to me. We're to be friends with people like that because they need to see the love, the genuine love of real Christians. The only problem is there's a lot of people that name Jesus' name, don't they? And they do great damage to the name of Jesus. I know there's a lot of people here that probably haven't darkened the door of a church because as they were raised, they experienced what I've been talking about. Because they're nuts. And that's what you ought to say. When you see these legalistic, fundamentalistic, rule-oriented nuts, you follow Jesus' commands. If it's not under Jesus' list of commands, if you don't want to go to a movie, okay, not every movie is good, but that's up to you. If you don't drink wine or whatever, okay, that's up to you, but don't you judge anybody else. Paul does say, however, that those who know we have this liberty in Christ don't try to flaunt it in front of a weaker brother. And by the way, all these fundamentalists, Paul would call with all the rules in Romans 14, he'd call them weak brothers. Why? Because they are so legalistic with what they do. That one Baptist church had a rule, ladies can't wear pantsuits to church. Have you ever been in a church like that? That's another religious nut. Does God care about, besides modesty, does Jesus say it's what's on the outside of a person that defiles them? It's the heart. So feel free. We don't have ties at this church. Why? That's Pharisaical. What did the Pharisees do that Jesus hated? He said they broadened their garments and their phylacteries and they wore their religion on their sleeves and Jesus was disgusted with it. And by the way, you want to know how dangerous fundamentalists are? Guess who killed Jesus? Why is it that fundamentalists love to kill? Jesus came to save. You ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that? I've seen these fundamentalist churches. All they want to do is somebody that doesn't know Jesus, what do they want to do with them? Kill them. That is not Christ. You better start rethinking your attitude when you see these crazy people in the Middle East. And believe me, I'm frightened of them too. Do you think Jesus would... By the way, I know what Jesus would do. How many remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? Do you know that that was an insult in Jesus' day to his people, especially the Pharisees? In their idea, no Samaritan, which was a half-breed, could be good. And Jesus nudged him by telling him the parable of the Good Samaritan. And guess who were the ones that didn't bother to help the guy that needed help? All the Orthodox ones of his day. The Samaritans didn't want Jesus in their village. In John, the fundamentalist, that's why I love John, he's my favorite in the New Testament beside Jesus. He was a fundamentalist, had all of the rules. So the Samaritans, the half-breeds, half-Jewish, half-pagan, the Jews hated them because they were mixed. I'm a Heinz 57, I don't even know what I am. I'm going to get one of those swabs one day and find out where I'm from. Anyway, John says to Jesus, Lord, those half-breed Samaritans, They wouldn't receive you. I got a good idea. Let's call fire down from heaven on them. You ever read that? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus said to him after he slapped John. No, he didn't slap him, but he said, you don't even know what spirit you're from. The Son of Man came to seek and to save. And then you know what he said? He said, in a Samaritan village in John 4, which is totally ignored by most preachers, he's in a village of hated Samaritans who hate Jews, and the Jews hate them, and he looks at the Samaritans and he says to his boys, boys, the field is white for harvest. Pray that the Lord send forth laborers to reap people for Jesus Christ among the Samaritans. Do you see how Jesus thought so differently? This is what legalism will do. It will kill. This is what I saw in my undergraduate program, and I was appalled. Why is it that fundamentalists, forgive me if I'm being, you can get mad at me, but get in line. There's a big line ahead of you. Why is it that these fundamentalist churches always want to kill people? Somebody tell me that. How often have I heard, I can't wait till the Lord rains down fire from heaven on these people? Well, you now know what Jesus thought of that idea. We were to pray that the Lord reach them for a harvest of souls to come to Him. Every person that doesn't know Jesus, I don't care how bad the fundamentalists may think they are a field white for harvest to come to the Lord Jesus. I'll never forget a guy in chapel at the school said he was a pastor in Albania. And he said he decided to make a special effort to reach people who were in Islam for Jesus. And one of his elders said, I cannot support you any longer because they're the ones that caused 9/11, and he left. Are you nuts? What would Jesus have done? There's a harvest, white. Send them the gospel. But you see, the news media and our war of terror, get mad at me all you want, Dave's different thinker, has caused Christians to think, what do we want? War and destruction. What would Jesus do? Save. He would save. And he didn't say he's sending us to nice people that wouldn't cut our hands off and kill us. And some of those crazy groups have even burned Christians in cages. But that's where legalism, they began in verse 13. Somebody came in, Judaizers we call them. Get under Moses, get under this. And that's when the church went from love to biting and devouring one another. Because that's what legalism will do. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. Just hold your finger there and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 4. Paul knew this. Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew these rules and regulations were harmful. Look what it said. And such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God who made us adequate as servants of a what kind of covenant? A new covenant, not of the letter. What's he referring to? The letter of the law. No, 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 no. But it says this, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills. But guess what the Spirit does? Gives what? Life. That's what we're in the business of in the new covenant. We're in the business of reaching people no matter what. By the way, I know why God chooses us. You ever wonder why God chose you? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that God has chosen the base things of this world to confound those who are good. Guess what? When God chooses you and you come to Him, you know what that's an indication of? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 and following. Check it out. It means you're the worst. Which does God give greater glory to? By choosing the worst or the best? And God wants glory. So guess what? He chose you because we're the worst. That means the next time you see a sinner that you consider a sinner that doesn't know Jesus, please remind them of this. This is what these fundamentalists never do. They're convinced of their holiness and they reek. If God forgave me and I'm the worst, and the Bible show, I can show you where the Bible says I'm the worst. That's why Paul called himself the chief of sinners. How much more then can He save you because you're better than I am? You see, if we had that attitude, the biblical attitude, Christianity wouldn't reek the way it does among some of these religious nuts. What started that in my life? I went to one of those schools that I'm ashamed to even tell you that I even went near. But I think God uses these things in your life to teach you spiritual. That's what I think. I used to tell this to a lady that's gone to be in glory, so she knows whether this is true or not. I really think everything in your life that you experience is a lesson God is teaching you. And I really struggled with those fundamentalists. Sandy can tell you for years, my struggle with how unloving, harsh, hateful toward people they were. And I had said to myself, if this is Christianity, I wouldn't want it. But then I met real, I believe, genuine Christians that were so loving and kind, especially toward people that didn't know Jesus. And you know what I think? When you come to know the Lord starts teaching you, and we're in a school. And I think those 4 years of misery were to teach me, don't you dare be like those people. Don't you dare get like that. And I make it everywhere I go to try to bring in an atmosphere where Christians, what does love do? Hides a multitude of sin. What the fundamentalists do? Go pulling up the rug. And let me tell you about something. Watch the guy that's always pointing the finger at someone else. Let me give you a little rule, especially the preacher. There's a little rule of psychology. When someone loves to point the finger at other people, the reason why they do that is they're guilty, and they don't want you to notice what they're guilty of. Let's think of a preacher, because I love to hit preachers. Jesus said teachers will have the greater judgment. How many remember Ted Haggard? Does that name sound familiar to you? What did Ted Haggard do? Preaching hellfire and brimstone on certain people. And guess what Ted Haggard was guilty of? That is typical of those fundamentalists. So, to those who are visiting, we believe in the fundamentals of the faith here, but the fundamentals of the faith mean being like Jesus and not by man-made rules. That's what happens when you go under the law of Moses. For once you start down the road of the old covenant and you leave the new covenant of love, it's going to be... And by the way, just to show you how this happened, guess what Calvin said that the law can sanctify? He was nuts. The law can't do anything but condemn. Just to show you how people get it so wrong, even someone that's famous in Christianity. So I want you to know that when we preach Galatians, a consequence of getting under Moses, it won't stop there. You not only will not be able to keep Moses, but you'll get harsher and harsher and unloving until finally I've seen fundamentalists that it only ends up in some fundamentalist churches with two or three people because everybody else they consider to be rotten and only they are the ones. I'll tell you something, when we get to heaven, Jesus said there's going to be a surprise. Many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, and you know what we're going to find out? They ain't going to be there. There ain't going to be a Baptist, a Lutheran, a Presbyterian side of heaven. Whatever denominational background you're from, it's just going to be those who are saved by God's grace, who express the love of Jesus and are merciful to the sinner because they're worse than any sinner ever was. And Christians, forget it. Don't we forget just how God's mercy saved us and we're worse than anybody else. So we're up to verse 5:13. You get into Moses and legalism and you'll get harsh and unloving. You'll get into the letter of the law and you'll want to kill everybody. The Son of Man came to save and to give His life as a ransom for many.